big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, and hi there. Oh, glad you could join.
That's really, that's quite creepy. Yeah.
It's me, really.
It's quite unpleasant. Yeah.
It's me. Did I fool you?
Yeah, yeah.
Good evening, and welcome to...
Is that how you, when you go on GB News, is that what you sound like?
Well,
to fit in with all the other pervs. And,
no, no, it'd be me and Eamon in the morning.
Oh, yeah,
me and
course,
Eamon.
Yeah.
Me and Eamon and the bird. I can't remember her name. She's nice, though. She is.
Talking of creepy.
Yeah, that's not at all creepy. So anyway, welcome back, my friends, to the show that just won't fucking end. Please welcome Mr. Johnny Harden. Hot on the news. Oh, by the way,
yeah,
John Hot on the News announced about 10 minutes ago in the deep part of our rehearsal that he's no longer doing the news.
No, I didn't say that. I said,
you
I didn't
said
think I was
one
supposed
pod
to do
ago,
it for today.
What, the day we're doing the pod? That's no. The day you refused to do it. This is like you on stage. We'd be in the middle of something. And I go, go on there, John. You're like, no, I'm not telling it now. I'm like, oh, for
that's
fuck's
what I'm,
sake.
I'm. What can I say? I'm contrary.
Yeah, that's one word for it. So you who were like,
no, I have gathered.
No,
wait,
news. Like, just to remind you, you were telling me how shit I was at the news.
You were,
and how you are amazing at the news. And from now on, leave it. It's I will take care of the news. Until today.
Okay, so do you want me to start with some news then?
Fire away, okay. Johnny boy.
I'll start in the vein as if it's actual news.
Of course it is. Everything here is actual news.
Okay, then. So yesterday, the former NFL running back and beloved comedy actor O.J. Simpson.
Beloved?
O.J. Simpson. It was weird because The Guardian had a headline that was something like, O.J. Simpson, former NFL footballer and acquitted murderer, dies.
You know, I always believed in his innocence.
Well, you know, see, now this is why I'm so glad I can bring you this story, because do you know who else believed in his innocence?
Let me guess. P. Diddy?
No.
Oh, hang on. From those days.
P. Diddy. Apart,
sorry, P. Diddy's in the news a lot at the moment.
Can I just say, apart from the jury, I exempt the jury from this comment.
Who else thought he was innocent?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson?
Because I think not, you know, in the end, even his lawyers, the Kardashian guy, ended up thinking, yeah, I'm not sure he was.
I think they were fairly sure.
Yeah.
I think they were sure. They just need to
remember,
bank the check first.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
That's right.
That was amazing. Well,
the metal version. If the glove don't smell, you're going to hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Smell the glove.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Did you get that?
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
See what I did?
Yeah, it's really amazing.
If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. Was that it?
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Oh, that's it, you must acquit. Yeah. But you could...
It on his hand.
Yeah, you could...
And he's holding his hand up and the glove doesn't fit. It doesn't fit, Mick. What can I tell you?
Well, you know, he doesn't fit because he's twisted his hand into a deformed stump.
Yeah, and he spent the whole night sitting on his hand, so it just swells up to a massive proportion.
And I remember his face, because he was such a beloved comedy actor. I remember his comedy face when he was doing that.
The beloved star of the Airplane movies, O.J. Simpson. Was it Airplane he was in? He was in something. Was it Naked Gun? He was in the Naked Gun.
Wasn't he in the Airplane ones?
He might have been in Airplane as well. But he was definitely in the Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah, because like a sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want me to tell you who...
Oh, sorry, yes.
It's a person that you know.
I do know a lot of Hollywood A-listers.
Well, it is,
John.
A Hollywood... It's a Hollywood...
Lister.
Lister, yeah.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, and a Lister. Very close personal friend of yours.
Not Ross Halfish.
Sharon Osbourne.
I was going to say Sharon.
Well,
I was going to say Sharon.
Yeah, well...
But I knew her in those days. She didn't believe he was innocent.
Okay, let me tell you this.
Bring it.
Because... Now that there's obviously no chance of a libel suit.
Listen to scaredy
Mr. O.J. Simpson, who did write a book called, what was the book he called? If I Did It.
Well, it
and
just
then
said,
he described
I,
in...
No, on the cover it went, I did it. And then right at the top in tiny letters was if.
And then he described in detail what might have happened had
if,
he done
if
it.
He'd yeah, done if he'd it, done which, it, which
yeah.
he didn't.
Yeah. Okay, so this is back in the Osbournes MTV heyday. Sharon claimed that she and Ozzy Osbourne, you know Ozzy Osbourne, he's her husband.
Yeah, I think
so.
Used to be in Sabbath.
Yeah, that's right. Stopped doing drugs after Nicole Simpson was murdered because, no, here you go, because OJ and Nicole were their dealers. according to my source, which is the Popbitch email.
Oh well, impeccably, which is obviously right. Impeccably.
According to Sharon, the couple being OJ and Nicole, even though they weren't a couple, whether they'd split up.
Well, one was dead by then.
Yeah, and I mean murdered by her jealous ex.
They weren't even living together anymore.
So they say.
They probably just kept the drug business going.
Yeah. Well, according to her, the couple had carved out a nice little niche for themselves as suppliers of GAC to the Hollywood A-list. But dealing led to the unwelcome attention from local organised criminals who put out a hit on them to stop the enterprise.
Hit on who? OJ and...
OJ and Nicole. But so they murdered Nicole.
Oh.
But they didn't murder OJ.
Yeah, they fucked up there,
they
didn't
fucked
they?
Up there.
Well, and OJ just happened to be wandering past the garden with his gloves on.
So what... The reason Detective Sharon Osbourne, so you know the Bronco chase when he took off the next day?
Yeah.
And it was live on TV and they're following him along in the Bronco. That's doing like 4 miles an hour and his mate's in the front going, OJ, we've got to stop this. You know, goes, keep driving. He's got the gun. Keep driving, motherfucker.
I'll kill myself.
Yeah. The reason for that, Sharon says, is that OJ was off his head. And took off in the Bronco because he was scared they were going to kill him.
Right.
That's her theory.
And these drug overlords that were doing all the killing, they also were in the helicopters
Yeah, but they thought the minute he got himself on TV, I mean, it's a great tactic. If you get yourself on live TV, no one's going to assassinate you on live TV unless you're like JFK or someone.
Yeah.
No one's going to assassinate you on live TV because they'll see who it is. See, Mick, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. And OJ was a seven. But obviously, when he got into court, he couldn't go, look, it was the, you know, the rival cocaine gang killed her and were trying to kill me because we're both dealing, you know, industrial quantities of cocaine to the Hollywood A-list. Yeah,
well, I must say that.
What do you think of that? Well, you slagging off my news gathering. What do you think of that?
Well, can I just say, in all the ludicrous stories attached to the O.J. Simpson murder of his wife... Let me finish.
Affaire de O.J.
This is perhaps the most ludicrous one I've heard so far.
I mean, I have to say, if it had come out of the mouth of Ozzy rather than Sharon,
it would be
more understandable. But for Sharon to think that, it's kind of weird.
And also, just to pull you up on a little detail, an actuality.
Oh, okay.
You said Sharon and Ozzy quit drugs.
That's what it says.
Sharon's not really been into the old drugs, though.
Maybe she was buying them for Ozzy from Nicole Simpson. That's what happened. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Detective Hot, I'm not saying. Yeah.
You're saying that could be what happened.
That could have happened. That's what you're saying.
It
might not have done, but it could have done.
But you're pretty much saying it did. You're kind of... I think what you can now confirm.
I'm saying other people are saying it did, not
well,
me.
You're the only other person I know that's saying it.
Well, apart from Sharon Osbourne, you mean? Well, no, I'm saying that's Pop Bitch saying that's what Sharon Osbourne said.
That's Pop Bitch saying that's what someone on telly said once to someone once.
Yeah, probably.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, see, that was Johnny Cochran. He was very clever. He orchestrated the whole thing. He's like a puppet master.
Like in Breaking Bad. He was like Saul Goodman in Breaking
Bad. Yeah, but like times, you know, times 500. He wasn't getting some, you know, local meth dealer off by tricking the DA. He was... This is the biggest court case in America. I mean, you know, the world stopped when that verdict came in, didn't it?
Well, yes, it did. And there were, yes.
OJ couldn't believe his fucking luck. He's like, how did we do that? How did we pull that one off?
Did you see that dramatisation of
it? I did. I loved it. I thought it was tremendous.
But it really, it was great.
And when David Schwimmer plays the Kardashian guy. Yeah.
But it, you know, that thing, what made you think? It made me think of things I hadn't thought of before, like...
Well, let's be honest, you've not thought of much.
Not a lot, to be honest. But I was still looking at the glove.
Because if it doesn't fit... You're trying to work out if it did actually fit. But
it's a tough call.
Yeah.
What I hadn't thought of is, okay, he's got off, brilliant, they've won, and now he's going home.
Yeah.
And in the show, I don't know, in reality, probably was like this, who knows? But in the show, he's going home thinking, he's coming home to a party.
Yes,
everybody's going to welcome him back.
The nightmare is
over, back to normal. But he's completely shunned.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, he was acquitted. I don't know why you... Why would you not want...
Hey,
OJ's coming round tonight.
Hey, he got off.
He got off. He's great. Coming round. Yeah.
He wants us all round his house tonight.
Yeah. Have you said there was that brilliant bit, though, also, because that was a great scene at his house when he realises, he gets home and he realises, actually, I'm going to now be an outcast. But the bit where Johnny Cochran, they know they're going to bring the jury to the house because Cochran's orchestrated somewhere.
He redecorates it
with African tribal. So he's taken down. OJ's got loads of pictures of like him and, you know, I don't know, all the white celebrities of the day. And Johnny Cochran's kind of that. He takes it all down and puts up like African tribal.
Because he's very spiritual.
Pictures of OJ in his, you know, like robes
of,
and stuff.
Pictures of ceremonial gloves.
Yeah.
That fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, of course, you don't think of that, but that must be common practice in Hollywood, mustn't it? You know.
Well, I don't know how common practice any murder trial is. So,
well, there's a lot of murder trials in LA.
Yeah, but it was very.
But
clever.
if it's a celeb, you see what I mean?
That's the accused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there have been a few because obviously Phil Spector, he didn't get off.
But that's because they didn't redecorate his house in African tribal art.
Exactly. And he did. He wore his. Didn't he wear his wig to court?
He wore one of his most ludicrous.
He did.
Wigs.
So he. I mean, he didn't. Yeah. And the fact he had actually just stood there and shot someone.
Well, OJ had stood there and knifed to death someone and left his glove behind that didn't fit.
Yeah. Well,
therefore they must have.
That's it. Did they ever work out why he had gloves that didn't fit him? Why did he buy them in the first place? That's the bit I don't understand.
Well, no, they belong to the true killer, who is still at large to this day.
And probably sitting at home chuckling.
But so they did a, like they did with the O.J. Simpson trial, they did the same thing for Spectre, and it was...
I didn't see that.
Not De Niro, the other one.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino played Phil Spectre.
Did he?
Brilliant.
Al Pacino played Phil Spector. I don't remember this at all. I would like to see
that. Here we go.
No, I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Whoa, it didn't happen.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I didn't see it. I would like to see it.
To be honest, John, there's a lot you haven't seen,
isn't
there?
Well, probably, yeah.
You know, or don't know. We could just categorise it under a lot you don't know.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, I'd say a lot.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
The Hot. If it ain't a lot, he ain't hot.
Exactly, yeah, that's my saying. That makes perfect sense.
So listen, I'm so sorry you missed it. So Al Pacino is playing Phil Spector, and all based on the actual events. And on the day of the trial, I mean, he's got a woman lawyer that you know, she must know that, you know, it's not quite what he says, the story. Yeah. But there's enough reasonable doubt that she can build on. All he has to do is present himself as a person that isn't a lunatic, yeah. Right? And he turns, and he's wearing, every time he meets her, he's in a different wig. But it's always a, you know, you can tell it's a wig, but it doesn't, it's not a fright wig, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The day of the trial, he turned up, he's in like a white wig that it's like the boxing promoter.
Don King.
But worse, it's like straight up in the air like that. And she looks at him, she says, why are you doing this? He went, it's in tribute to my friend Jimi Hendrix. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
I don't remember Hendrix having straight up white hair.
No, he definitely didn't, did he?
And then he added, who I didn't kill either.
Yeah.
Honest.
Honest, Gov.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, but if he'd decorated his house in tribal doodah, you know?
Yeah.
Right, John, so what's next on the news?
Well, next on the news, Mick, after that, I mean, I think that was
forensic.
A bit of a bombshell opening, wasn't it? Well, the next item was actually one that you curated, I believe.
Oh, really? What, you mean sent to you?
Yeah, you sent it to me again.
Because now you're the news guy.
Yeah, you sent it to me saying, oh, this is great. This is, look, check, this is brilliant for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about Stars Ulrich, who's uh-huh. your absolute...
Well, there you are, already sold. You
had legendary
me at
hero.
Mm.
But it's this drip, which we're going to get endlessly now.
Drip?
Of, oh, so-and-so is appearing in the Spinal Tap...
Oh, the new... This is Spinal
sequel.
Tap 2.
The Spinal Tap sequel, which, let's say, is coming some years after the 1984...
Well, it's actually 40 years
original.
This year, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And, in fact, the guy that played the manager...
Yes.
He's Ian dead.
Faith. Yeah, he is, yeah. Well, oh, I'm trying to think of his name now.
Ian Faith.
No, I know he plays Ian Faith.
You mean...
He was the guy who started Spy magazine,
see, this
wasn't
is
he?
Where... This is where you...
Hendra, Tony Hendra.
This is where you get it all right.
Tony
it's a
Hendra.
Documentary, man.
Tony Hendra.
These are real people.
Tony Hendra.
Ian
I
Faith.
Again.
With his cricket bat.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So he won't see
that, like, when we do our live shows... It's very much a select.
So, do we know what the audience. Premise? Do we know what the premise of the film is?
I think it's Hollywood executives that weren't born at the time saying, "Can we just do another one of those because we're out of ideas?"
Yeah, but I don't think that because
that's pretty much every Hollywood movie now, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't reckon that Nigel Tufnell and Derek Davidson Hubbins, i.e. Michael
and
McKee.
Don't forget Derek Smalls.
Yeah. Oh, so any of those guys who've all done extremely well in their careers would do it unless they thought they were going to do something really good.
Well, they probably are. The first movie was fantastic.
It was fantastic. But no, what I'm interested in your view as someone who's...
Oh, you mean the series
has been in the
game.
Music. Because the great thing about Spinal Tap was... I was saying this to someone the other day. What they did was they kind of did every joke that there is to do about... a mid-level touring rock band, you know, getting lost on the way to the stage.
And all that was innovative at the time, but now we've had the millionth MTV behind the music.
Exactly.
The millionth superb Mick Warbeck, you know.
So what
we now know the secrets.
Exactly. So what are the experiences that they're drawing on? What isn't still funny? If Spinal Tap, extending the premise, were a real band, what would be funny about them at the moment?
Okay, two-part answer. First part, I don't know. Second part, two-part answer. Second part, it reminds me, did you ever see Wayne's World 2?
Probably.
Right, so Wayne's World 1, made on a small budget, the only famous rock star in it is Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And back in 91 or whatever, that
you
movie
get
was,
Alice to do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to be in a movie, Alice? Mm. Fuck yeah. No one's asked me to do anything for 10 years.
Yeah.
Second movie, you've got Aerosmith.
Yeah.
You've got the Beatles. I don't know who you've got. You've got loads of people. And I actually enjoyed the second one more.
Oh, okay.
but because I wasn't interested in anything other than the funny scenes with Aerosmith or whatever. But even that's now because of reality TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you've seen those guys. I mean, a lot of them either did a kind of Anvil-type film, which was essentially a real version of Spinal Tap, but with a heart, you know, a happy ending, and, you know, these guys, God bless them, they're still going and they probably will forever.
Well, that was your takeaway.
That was my take, exactly, yeah.
That wasn't my takeaway.
I mean, yeah, you came out of it saying you hated both of them.
I did.
You hated the music business and you wish you'd never been born. But that's what you said to me.
I'm not bitter.
No, not at all.
That's the thing.
Not at all.
I have to say
that. When I said to you, you are the anvil of rock writers, you said, you seem to take that as some kind of insult.
No, I took it with my usual equitable life, Henry, karmic.
Yeah.
What do you call that, John? You know, you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Big picture.
So I think you're right. I think because this news item that you sent me does announce a rather stellar list of guests. Stars.
All right, but just before you go any further, the first Spinal Tap, one of the reasons it was so brilliant and why the business and the groups liked it as well was because it was so accurate in the minutiae.
Yes.
Because no one knew the minutiae back then, unless you had been walking down that corridor going, hello, Cleveland. But now we know everything, don't we?
Yeah.
We live in the beyond the knowing.
And you know, the list. Okay, so the first list of people who are making guest appearances.
This is in the new movie.
In the new movie.
There were no guest appearances in the first one.
There were lots of famous people in it, but they were playing the parts of...
Yeah, like Billy Crystal's
in it and Rob Reiner's in it and all those people are in it. But
the guy that used to play John Steed in the Avengers, Patrick...
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And Stuart Derek Hogg. Stuart Hogg. Yeah.
Fucking old poofter, as in Faith calls him.
So they were famous people, but not
they weren't being themselves.
Not celebrity cameos.
In fact, what they did when they wanted a famous person was they got Paul Shortino, didn't they, who was in Rough Cut, to play Duke Fame, who was had once supported Spinal Tap, but was that's the famous, we're going to go down the lobby and wait for the limo.
And they're like, good days, good days.
Happy good days, yeah.
And as soon as he went, wank.
This much talent, yeah.
But the line I love, and they were still booing him when we went on.
Yeah, exactly. So all that stuff, but I mean, they didn't get a sort of, you know, the equivalent at the time would have been to get Ozzy Osbourne or someone in 84 to do that, but they didn't. They got Paul Shortino
to pretend to be someone else.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, but this time, they've got...
Oh, they're okay, lining up,
so they? They've got Elton John.
Ugh.
They've got Paul McCartney.
What's Paul McCartney going to do? Except come up and do a thumbs up?
They've got someone called Questlove, who you knew, but I didn't.
Okay, before we go any further, just to reiterate, things that you don't know...
Okay, yeah.
Doesn't mean only I know them.
Okay.
Questlove is probably the most famous black drummer in America. He's in the house band on the Tonight Show every night.
Okay, yeah. So he's a TV drummer, basically.
No, he's done loads of cool records as well.
Okay, so he's
a proper guy.
I don't know who he is. I'm telling you who he is. But Questlove, I love you. I love you, Questlove.
He's on all these documentaries that I'm on. He's on them, but even more. And he has big afro. And he used to have like a pencil sticking out.
If they were on, I would only watch your bits. And then I'd fast forward through the rest.
Well, no need to worry anymore, because I record only my bits.
Yeah, that's good. You can send them.
And then I make special DVDs that I send to all my friends.
Yeah. Oh, which reminds me in a minute of a special thing I saw on Twitter, which I'll tell you about.
Oh, dear.
So Elton John, Paul McCartney, Questlove, Trisha Yearwood, who's the country singer.
Mike Yarwood's daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's me.
Yeah.
Did you know, because he used to do Harold Wilson, didn't he?
He did used to, with the pipe. Yeah.
Did you know in real life Harold Wilson didn't smoke a pipe?
No, that's
amazing.
He
used to smoke big cigars.
Yeah.
But he adopted the pipe for the populist image.
Exactly, yeah, he did. He did.
Because all working class men in the 60s smoked a pipe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then Garth Brooks is also going to be. Who is a big star.
Yes.
But what I would say is...
But are they playing themselves?
Well, I presume they're playing themselves. If they are playing themselves, you have to... the question is, in what universe would Spinal Tap, who presumably in the... Because they have told their continuing story at various points, haven't they? I mean, they've been on tour, they've made records, they've done...
Yeah, but it's 40 years later.
Yeah, they are still unsuccessful. I mean, they're
well,
still...
Well, it's 40 years later. Exactly. It could be one of those things where TikTok... Smell the what?
Smell the glove.
Big girls. What was it? Fat bottom. No. What was their thing?
Big bottoms.
Was it big bottoms?
Big bottom. Talk about mud flaps. My girl's got them. I mean, the songs were
big bottom. Big. My girl's got them. You see, that was a proto.
I met her on Monday. 'Twas my lucky Bunday.
You see, that was a proto-feminist track.
Yeah. See, it was. This is the thing. It was so good. It was so spot on. You think, do you really want to go back to it? It was just so perfect.
Well, see, John, they turned up with a dumpster truck full of cash, and the boys had to think about it. Went, all right, then.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but you see, so you kind of try to imagine what universe they're in if they're meeting Elton John, if they're meeting McCartney. You know, I mean.
It'd just be the business, festivals, TV shows.
So what festival are Spinal Tap and Elton John at?
Glastonbury. Elton John just finished his career with a headline at Glastonbury.
I'm not saying it's impossible. Enough. I'm saying it makes me.
You're saying what universe?
I'm saying it makes me slightly wary of what it will be
because not believable enough.
No. Because what they did with the first one. Famously, people thought it was a real documentary.
Oh, yeah. No, I did, yeah. But, I went with Xavier, and we were laughing our asses off.
Exactly. And you think, who are these? Yeah. So, I mean, there was that, but they'll never get that level of artifice again.
No.
But what they did was...
None of us will.
No, exactly. But,
well, perhaps you.
But they didn't sit down going, how do we write a part for Elton John? Yeah. How do we write...
Yeah.
Because I think if you start doing that, that's when you're kind of losing sight of what's really happening that would be funny.
Are you saying they've sold out?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not because I haven't seen it. But
I think,
for example, like the stories that you come back with when you say, "I was on the rock boat with Kiss," and they had their own lift, and that you know, Paul Stanley wore his smock and all that sort of thing. Or I was on the road with Journey, and Neil Sean had his own security. You know, that do that because that's where the gold is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's the thing, I think, really. I suppose that's
I'm finally understanding you. You're absolutely right.
You know, it's that imagine what would really be happening rather than saying, well, we can get all these people and that will get us loads of press, but...
Tail wagging the dog.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What the first one was brilliant at was it, even if it had famous people, it said, well, yeah, Billy, we've got Billy Crystal, but you're going to be a mime artist. You're not even going to have a line. You know, you're just going to mime. So it's that sort of thing, you know. It's I suppose
it's the old conundrum when you've got no money and you're having to literally just figure it out on the fly. It's necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, and you've got that.
But when people are going, oh, this movie's going to be amazing. We can get Elton. We can get this. Yeah. Get that. I mean, that raises the money.
All of a sudden, then you've got to write a joke for Elton. Okay, writing a joke for Elton is probably pretty easy, but yeah, writing a joke for Garth Brooks. I don't really know how you go about
Paul
that.
McCartney.
You know, Paul McCartney. So it's. I suppose that is my kind of concern. But look, listen, they could. And all, you think they are themselves big stars now? I mean, Michael McKean was the. It was just in Better Call Saul. You know, the biggest show.
He's been in. Like, he was in Curb.
It was all that stuff. You know,
the movies they made.
And then, my mind's blank. Derek Smalls, who is Harry Shearer,
Who does loads of voices in The Simpsons, other movies.
You know, and then the only one who really sort of kind of hasn't, I suppose, is
Nigel Tufnell
himself. But
well, he has, though, because they went on, he's kind of the mastermind.
Yeah, exactly.
He
did all, you know, he did Best in Show and all, you know.
Did you see A Mighty Wind?
I did see A Mighty Wind, which was great. I really enjoyed it, but Best in Show is my favourite of his other films.
But the guy I love all of them. But in Best in Show, the one that just I just crack up. He's dead now, bless him.
Fred Willard.
Yes, yeah. Who played Phil's dad in Modern Family?
Oh right, I just know me.
Well, you don't know Modern Family?
No.
I think we need to pause here. Sidebar, as Johnny Cocaine would say. You don't know a lot, do you? Yeah, you don't see a lot. I'm picturing you at home with your Nokia 98 phone with its charming elastic band, at home with a black and white telly with one of those Martian antennae on top, holding it around trying to get a picture of the horse racing. Is that you?
That's kind of what it's like, yeah.
The cricket.
Yeah. But Fred Willard, who is in Spinal Tap.
You do know there is a programme called Modern Family.
I do know what it is. I just haven't watched it. But Fred Willard plays...
You have never watched Modern Family?
In Spinal Tap, he plays the guy who's running the air base. He plays the... Getting a little shaggy at the back myself here. I'd like to have the band on by 16:50 hours. He plays him in that. But in Best in Show... He plays the commentator, who's obviously been a baseball commentator, but he's been fired because he's done something appalling. So he's commentating on this dog show with a guy who loves dog shows. It's just the funniest. And then Eugene Levy, who's also a fucking genius, comes out and he's playing a guy who's literally got two left feet. So he's got two left shoes on. And it's just
genius.
It is absolute genius.
What is the name?
And then in Mighty Wind, he plays the guy. What happened? Doesn't he? He plays the sort of washed-up TV presenter who once had a TV show where the catchphrase was "What happened?" And it's like 50 years later, and he still goes around saying,
"Yeah, I can't imagine.
You can't
anybody
imagine what
like
that's
that.
Like."
No.
So I mean, without Fred, when he died,
would you agree though that he almost played the same character?
Oh, pretty much. When he died,
because when he played Phil's dad, he was that guy.
I think he was always that guy. When he died, they were showing like clips of things he'd done. He went on this like sort of the things I hate, those late night talk shows. But he said,
"Which talk shows do you love best?"
I can't. But this one that he was on, he was funny, and they kind of built him up and said, "You know, this guy, he's a cult hero," and he comes on, and he goes, "They're just talking." He goes, "Well, you know what they say about the blind prostitutes, don't you?" Because you've really got to hand it to them. It's like, and it takes like about 30 seconds for the crowd to get the joke. But just, he's so funny.
You can tell it's funny when I start coughing.
Yeah.
If I laugh
very,
too much, I cough.
Very funny. So, I mean, they're without Fred Willard, who would have just been superb in Spinal Tap part, whatever, you know.
Well, let's guess. Elton will be the... angry queen.
Yeah, he'll do a, like, you know, the flowers haven't been changed or whatever. And as you say, you can see that really happen.
What are you going to do with McCartney?
Probably thumbs up.
Sad old.
Yeah. And it's like McCartney. Not
Who else is it like? Who laughs?
Well, this was the other thing, was that coming to that, once you've got through your Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwoods and all this. I mean, the one promising thing about Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood is, maybe they've sort of tried to go a bit country. You know, like when hair metal died away.
Sorry. Maybe. You mean like Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when, you remember when...
Or they probably tried
hair metal sort of died away. And actually, quite a few of those guys started writing country ballads because they're essentially the same song. But
sorry. What did you just say? Hair metal what?
Only temporarily when grunge came along. It's back now, obviously.
You're bringing my 90s twitch back.
It's back now.
Oh,
don't worry about it now.
No,
it's
I
back.
Hear what you're saying. I
Leopard
hear
are on tour, Mick. Don't worry. They're still out there.
But Joe, I love Joe.
Yeah, you know, Joe, he's still out there.
He's lovely.
Now, the other people they've got are Chad Smith from the RHCPs, as we call them.
Well, I was going to say, Chad Smith and Lars are both drummers.
They are.
Now, the Tap have historically had issues with drummers.
So I presume they will maybe step in at some point and both explode or something. Which, if Lars explodes, I'm down for that.
Just the mouth on the floor going, hey.
You're still talking. Hey, yeah. Actually, that would
I may have exploded, but hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, see, that would be quite a good joke, wouldn't it?
Do you like Jackson Pollock?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
So, sorry, yes. Go on. Yeah. I think I interrupted you. So Lars explodes. What happens to Chad Smith?
I don't know. He probably explodes as well. All their drummers explode, don't they? That's true. Or dies in a bizarre gardening accident.
But do you think they kind of go country rock then?
Well, maybe if they've got those country guys in it, they're...
Or they try to and they're exposed.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Because you're right, now everybody did have a go. Beyonce's now doing it.
That might be too much of an in-joke, again, I don't know. But then
wasn't the whole thing in-jokes?
Well, it was, yeah. But I suppose it had that... The glory of it was it worked on both levels. You could watch it if you didn't know what it was, and it was funny because of the stuff that was happening. But if you'd been around the music business... Yeah, it was doubly funny because you're going, well, all of that stuff has actually happened to me.
Well, it's like all the best media, like this podcast, for instance. You know, you could listen to this and not laugh at all, you know, but if you're tuned in...
If you know the bits.
If you know, you know. And then it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But some people probably don't find it hilarious in the first instance.
No, people, they're the straights, you know. They're what we call the straights.
Right, now, John, on that stimulating note, do we know when the movie's coming out?
We don't. We don't know anything about it.
I thought you were the news guy.
Well, I mean, I suppose they're making it, aren't they? I mean, movies, you never know when they're coming out.
Oh, don't you? Why, do they take a while? Because sometimes,
there are sort of, you know... $50 billion movies that never get released.
No.
Yeah.
Get the fuck.
People call them, you know, tax write-offs and all things.
No.
I would never say that. I would never say
that. A tax what, did you say?
Write-off. Write-off. Yeah, I would never say that, but some people have said that.
No, I believe a man should pay his taxes, John, you know. And on that bombshell, we bid you... before we do go, we should also... put in a cheery note for Beyer Dynamic microphones.
Because that's why this sounded so smooth.
Smooth operator.
And just remember, Mick, if the glove don't fit,
you must acquit.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?